This evening I want to share, last week I was sharing and made a comment, and afterwards I thought, you know, I need to come back to that and share just a bit more on that. I'm not going to be long tonight. I want to just share some visuals at the end of this brief, you can call it a devotional if you want. I'm just going to do a couple of scriptures, and there's just one challenge that I want to leave with you, and then we're going to look at some visuals, as I said. But so what I said last week is, you know, often, and especially in Christianity today, there's a popular culture, and we read books, and we want to grow, and we want to learn more, and that's great, and that's blessed, but you know what, there's nothing better than firsthand receiving from God. Firsthand God speaking into your heart, or speaking however God speaks in various ways. He speaks to us in our heart. Sometimes it sounds like our own voice that He speaks to us. He speaks in the still small voice. Some people He speaks to us in pictures, in visions. He speaks to us, different people, in different ways. And for me, He speaks to me in different ways over different times in my life. But this is really just such a precious topic to me, and I'm sure to every real Christian, this must be your most exciting thing, you know, to talk about, and that is the voice of God. Okay, so we're doing tonight Christianity 101, His voice. All right. This is the thing that must excite every one of us the most. Because you know what, if Jesus walks into this room tonight, you know what, the first thing that would be apparent to me and to all of us is the fact that we hear His voice. So the moment that Jesus walks in this place and He begins to speak, you and I should be able to recognize Him, because it's something that happens in our lives daily, all right? We cannot say we've got a relationship with Jesus. I can't say I've got a relationship with Neil there at the back, and Neil and I never speak. You know, I haven't spoken to him for the last 10 years, but we're good friends. Okay, that doesn't make sense. Okay, good relations. Neil's upset now. Neil, we did speak. We spoke last night. So the basis for any relationship is communication, all right? You cannot have a relationship unless it's communication. And the challenge with us, and this is such a contentious topic, because what I often see is, you know, it's so simple to hear God's voice. Okay, sometimes we complicate it so much, you know, to hear what God is saying. It's actually the most natural thing for us as Christians. But then, I enjoyed the offering message. It was just so spot on for tonight, because what was shared is just that the fact that God's ways is different than our ways. His way of doing things is so different. And the challenge with hearing God's voice is what the psalmist in Psalm David, I'm going to speak a bit about David, what David calls the sin of presumption. Okay? Presumption is assuming, because things happened in a certain way. I mean, we as Christians today, we love a 10-step program. Okay? We love predictability. If we can just know things are going to happen this way, in these 5 steps, then we're happy. Okay, that's how the books and the sermons and everything goes these days. There's 5 steps or there's 10 steps. And we love those because it's predictable. But you know what? To hear someone's voice or real relationship is not predictable. It's unpredictable. So the biggest challenge to you and I in hearing God's voice is not actually hearing it, but presuming that God's going to do the same thing that He's done before. Okay? And actually, to say it another way, control. Okay? That's that word that we don't like. Okay? But if we're really honest with ourselves, and I want us to inspect our own hearts, is we love to control things. Okay? If we can, and everything, often what we do in this Western Christianity is we try to get our lives to such a place that we're in control. And unfortunately, God wants us to give control to Him. Or fortunately, depends on how you look at it. Okay? But God wants us to depend on Him And that's sometimes a bit of a tricky situation. It's sometimes a bit uncomfortable, and God puts us that in that place specifically. If you think of a Peter, when he had to walk on the water, there's no way he could control that situation. Do you agree? Okay? He had to trust Jesus after his voice. Peter said to Jesus, "Jesus, speak the words, and then I'll come." Okay, so when Peter walked on the water, he responded to the word and to the voice of Jesus, and therefore he could walk on water. All right. Now, as I said, this is such a dear topic to me. You know, when I came to Christ for the first time about 10 years ago in Stellenbosch, I often say this, but I remember I was staying privately, and I studied engineering, and I had to walk to class every day. And I remember that walk to class I never looked forward to that little walk. It was about 10, 15 minutes walk, and I dreaded it every day. I don't know why, I just didn't like walking. I still don't like walking. My wife will say, you know, I don't like to walk, I'd rather run. I used to dread that walk, and I remember when I came to Christ, I got so excited about that little walk, because for the first time I realized, but listen, I can actually speak to God, and I can engage God, and I could listen and wait on Him, and He would speak back to me. And I remember that little walk became the most precious thing to me. That thing that I looked up towards was so exciting. I remember I would walk, and then, you know, I would just burst out laughing, and I think people thought I was crazy. And so I would just randomly start laughing and just enjoying God. And that's, you know, it's something that that we often need to come back to. Just that place of just enjoying God. And actually that's what the message is tonight. Some of us, you've stopped enjoying God, and He wants to bring you back to that place of enjoyment. Right, so just a couple of scriptures and then we're going to move on. Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." Because I can spend a lot of time on this. But Samuel, in the context of where he came from and where he walked into, he represents to us the voice of God. Remember, Samuel was his mother, Hannah, promised Samuel to the Lord. And then Samuel was taken to the temple, and he was taken care of by the priest Eli. But the priest Eli had these sons, and these sons did wicked things. And then one night, God appeared to Samuel and said, "Samuel, where are you?" He said it three times. We know the story. And then every time he'd go to Eli. And eventually Eli caught up, and he said to him, "When you hear that voice again, say, 'Here I am, Lord.'" Okay? And then, of course, we know the story. God spoke to him, and he represents to us today the voice of God. Okay? Someone that didn't do ritual or religion, but the voice of God. He obeyed God's voice. In fact, it says at some other places, every word that Samuel spoke that prospered. It happened. None of his words fell to the ground. That's how accurate he heard the voice of God. But it says in the scripture, in that time, the word of the Lord was rare, and there was no widespread revelation. Okay, so I want to quickly just stop on this phrase, the word of the Lord. Did you notice that that scripture, and you see this right throughout scripture, it equates the word of the Lord with revelation, or in other words, hearing God's voice. Okay? Sometimes when we think of the word of God, we think of the Bible. Okay? That's the word of God. But now, here, it very specifically says that the word of the Lord was rare. In other words, few people heard the voice of God. Or the next part of the phrase says widespread revelation. Few revelation happened. Okay, in other words, visions and dreams and all of those. Okay, so Samuel here represents to us the voice of God in the Word of God is significant here. And I want to take us quickly to a scene with Jesus standing with the disciples. And he says to, once again, Peter, says to the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And they go on, they say, "No, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're this person, some say you're a prophet." Then he stops and he turns to the disciples and says, "But who do you say I am?" Okay? Then Peter says, he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay? Then Jesus says something very significant that a massive part of the church gets right wrong today. Massive church movements are built on something completely wrong here. But it says, Jesus says, "On this rock, I will build my church." Okay? Now, some denominations go and they say, the rock there is Peter. He is the rock on which Jesus will build his church. That's not what Jesus says. Because Peter was saying, "You are the Son of the living God." Okay, so then we can go further and say, okay, but now that is the rock. The fact that Jesus is the Son of God. I want to say to you that that's the truth, but that's not the rock. It's still not the rock. And the rock is the following. Because Jesus says to Peter, listen, what you have received there is not of yourself. It has come from God. In other words, revelation. In other words, what you have received here, Peter, is not natural. It's supernatural. You received something from a different dimension. You received something from the heavenlies. And then you said it. It's been revealed to you by God. Okay? And he says, on that, I will build my church. On revelation knowledge. Are you guys getting it? It's really exciting place because Jesus says, I will build my church on that rock. The fact that we as a priesthood of believers can come to God and we can hear his voice on that rock. God is moving with his church. He's revealing to us more and more and more about his true intent for his church. Okay? Since Jesus died, and 2,000 years ago, the church fell back. And then since then, God has been restoring various aspects of the church, okay, to the church. So, instance, baptism. Monica was sharing about baptism earlier. There was a stage where only infant baptism happened, but then God came and he restored to the church a truth, a broad revelation saying, but we must come back to what Scripture says. Scripture says that you can only be baptized if you have believed. A child cannot believe, therefore we must baptize. Okay? Then God, various things was restored to the church. In the 1900s, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Pentecost. Okay, in a couple of days, one Sunday, we're going to celebrate Pentecost as well. Okay, the Holy Spirit being poured out, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God is restoring his church. An exciting thing for us is it's adventure. The church is on adventure where we participate in this revelation of God. God is building his church on this rock. Amen. It's a really exciting place. Back to Samuel. And I think we are at pretty much the same place that the people of the days of the judges and Samuel was, where the word of the Lord was rare. So once again, we're not talking about the written word. We're not talking about Bibles. Today, Bibles, the Bible is translated into, I think, almost every language on the earth. Okay, translation is not a problem. Bibles, okay, some places Bibles are inaccessible. It's true. But for us and most of the Western world, Bibles are very accessible. So we're not talking about the written word. That's not what's rare. But what really is rare is what we call the spoken word of God. Okay? I think we had more or less the same place. The word of God is rare. God wants to change that. God is looking for people that would commit themselves to hearing His voice and speaking His words. Psalm 119, verse 105. David again says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In other words, David says, listen, I am guided by your word, God. Okay? Now, this is a tricky one, because how can you, in Scripture, in the Bible, know which work to take? Say if you're applying for work and you've got all these options, how do you know which one is God's? Okay? There's no Scripture in the Bible that will say, take the job at KPMG instead of the job at Deloitte. All right? That's where the spoken word of God comes in. All right? Where we embrace what God has on His heart. And I've got this habit, and some people don't like this habit, but I've picked up this habit from men of God, and I think it's a really healthy habit. When someone comes to me and they ask me a question, I always say to them, what does God say? Or the other thing I say is, what does Scripture say? Because I don't want someone to come to me continuously for answers. I want them to learn and to connect to God. You know, something that I learned from other people. But you know what? God is so willing to speak to us. And so often I find with myself and with all of us, just pastorally, we are so unwilling to hear from God. You know, and we come up with excuses, you know, why we should not, you know, a trustful word, why we should not hear God's voice, because now God doesn't necessarily work with me like that. Yes, He does. Jesus said He does. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." Okay? God is so, you know, as I said, I often make this, you know, I often do this wrong myself. You know, I'm not, I want to rather make the decision by myself, because, you know, it's sometimes difficult to go before God and say, "Listen, God, I'm going to do the Jacob thing. I'm not going to go away until you've spoken to me." Because it takes such a bit of effort, and it takes, you know, a bit of pressing into God. And, you know, sometimes God is not going to let us go for a while. You know, so we look up to that. So I'm the first to say I get this wrong. But you know what? This is how we are meant to live life. Okay? God is into relationship. He wants to communicate with us. And therefore, He wants us to come to this place where we become Jacobs. We wrestle with God. All right. Who wants to be a wrestler with God? Okay, some eager people here. Great stuff, guys. So David, he says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." Now, David, and I didn't put the scriptures up on the screen, but David represents to us one that followed the word of God, whereas Saul represents to us one that didn't obey God's word precisely. Remember Saul had once, and we've been speaking about this often in church, but for the sake of those who haven't been, remember Saul was, he did what God wanted, but there was this one scene, or actually two places, where Saul did what God wanted, and then he just slightly turned it. He just slightly missed it. You know, Samuel came to Saul and he said to him, "Saul, would you go and when you attack the enemy, kill everything. You know, kill everything. Don't take any of the spoil for yourself, and don't take the king captive. Don't take anyone captive." And then Saul thought, "Okay, but listen, my people are hungry. They're gonna need some." You know, so he had good ways. That's how we often do it. We've got good reasons. It sounds good. But then God was upset. God was disappointed in Saul that did his ways and not God's ways. Whereas David, Scripture, actually one of the last things that Scripture says about David's life was he was someone that kept God's word to the very end. Okay, David made massive mistakes. But one thing he did is he kept to God's word. He loved God's word. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Another place in Hebrews it says that the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. The word of God is living and it's powerful. Okay. Now, at the same time, scripture says the letter kills, but the spirit brings life. And once again, what I said earlier, I think in Cape Town, I don't think the written word is rare. I think there's quite a lot of Bibles and quite a lot of people that actually even know the Bible. But once again, the letter kills, but the spirit brings life. The fact that there's so many Bibles and so many people that even know the Bible doesn't mean that the word of God is not rare. Doesn't mean that people are hearing his voice and following his voice. Okay? Because you see, for the written word to become the spoken word, faith needs to be added. Okay? Scripture here says, Hebrews 11 says, we cannot please God unless we've got faith. When you come to God, you must come in a specific way, and that specific way is with an expectation. Isn't that exciting, actually? You know, isn't the opposite not exciting? Isn't the opposite boring? But coming to God like a little child, saying, God, what have you got for me today? Okay? Expectation that you're going to get something. And actually, it sounds, you know, to the religious mind, it sounds so wrong. How can you expect something from God? Are you only coming to God to get something? All right? But the Bible says, no, that's fine. God loves children. He wants his children to come to him expectant. Okay? Some of you, this is the key for you to come back to the place where you enjoy God. Okay? Just come like a little child. Just come expecting. So I want to place a challenge before us. I said I'm going to be quick. I want to place a challenge before us, and then we're going to watch some video. The challenge is for you to, in the next while, you're welcome to take up the challenge, you're welcome not to. But I want to place the challenge before you and say, trust that the Lord would speak to you 3 times in the next week. And watch what he does. Just take up this challenge and say, Lord, I want to hear you 3 times. Especially if you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't hear God's voice. God, I'm going to give you 3 tips on just how to position yourself. And even if you've heard God's voice for a long time, none of us can say, we're like a Samuel. We hear God perfectly. Okay? Samuel heard God audibly. All right? God spoke to him and he could hear him. So the challenge is the following 3 words. That you know it's God. And as I said, this is just something God is working in my own life. And he's challenging me. And I'm just so enjoying this challenge. So the first thing, or the first tip or hint I want to give you is, firstly, to commit to the written word. You cannot hear God's voice unless you've got a good relationship with Scripture. Okay? In other words, consistently reading the Bible. God's primary way is still to speak to us through the Bible. Not just dreams and visions. Those happen. But his primary way is and will always be is to read the written word. In fact, mostly our God speaks to me is he brings up scriptures. He brings up scriptures that I've memorized or I've read and it comes back to me. Okay, so commit yourself. And I want to say to you, don't just say, I'm going to read more Bible. Go and measure how much Bible you read. Okay, I think we often, you know, I've gone through stages. And that's why actually I'm continuously doing a reading program or getting myself to read a portion of Scripture, because then I can measure. Otherwise, I think I'm reading a lot, but I'm actually not. Some of you need to get a reading plan and commit to reading the written word. Okay. And get lots of word in. That's the first key. The second key is commit to stepping out. Commit to being a Peter. Because God wants us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. And in fact, The first place that you come in your life where you're struggling to hear God's voice is because at some point you neglected to do what He said. Okay? God will only take us so far as our last step of obedience. So if God said something to you and you're still not doing it, you're resisting Him, then He's not going to tell you something more. He's not going to take you to the next step because you're still stuck at the previous step. So go back to God and say, Lord, what is the last thing that you've said to me, because I want to go back to that. I want to do that thing so that I can move on with you. But now, here comes the challenge, because as I said earlier, we love to have control. We love to tick the boxes and know we're doing the right thing. But now here's where it becomes difficult, because you depend on God, you're dependent on Him, and you know, like a Peter, he has to depend on Jesus before he can walk on the water. Otherwise, it's not going to help. All right. So we need to step out in faith. So commit yourself. Say to yourself, listen, I'm going to do whatever God says. It's a difficult one. Okay? Sometimes we go to God, we say, God, speak to me, but I'm going to choose if I do what you say. Okay? Sometimes it's going to take that we approach people. Just discovered God is so over-eager to speak to us about other people. Okay? Sometimes it's difficult, all right? But make the decision and remember this. This is how you know, I handle difficult situations. God will never put you in a position where you are unable to do it. He's a father. He's not going to say something to you that it's impossible for you to do. Because He knows you. He knows you. He knows at which level you're at. He knows at what confidence you're at. He knows at you know, emotionally where you're at. He knows what point in your life you are, if you're in a difficult place. He knows that. He's not going to ask you something that you are unable to do. And you know what? And this is a word for someone. Is God celebrates the little that you do. The little contribution that you bring. The fact that you come to Him. I've got a little baby daughter. Most of you saw her a bit earlier. Most of you know her. And she's such a joy to our life. We really enjoy her. And I learn so much from God through her. But she's really amazing. And she's got this thing. She's got a very, very healthy appetite. Okay? Some of you that have babysit Malaya knows she's got a healthy appetite. And it's like, really, I'm not over-exaggerating. She's got a healthy appetite. It's weird because she's so tiny and so petite, and you know, I don't know what happens to all the food, but she eats a lot. Let me tell you quickly. My brother's got two little boys, and they're both older than Malaya, and they're both quite big guys, little boys. You know, one's two and the one's four. They're quite, you know, boys. You know, they, you know. Quite strong. And then compared to her, she's like this tiny little petite girl. Now, this once, my mom was looking after all three of them. And because Malaya's got such a healthy appetite, my mom gave them food, all three of them. Malaya finished hers and then started eating from the other two boys. Okay? And then my mom said to the two-year-old boy, like the little big boy, and she said to him, Malaya's going to come and eat your food, so quickly eat. And then he would quickly eat. Okay? Up till such a point now that when my brother and his wife want to get Matthew to eat, they'll say, Malaya's coming to eat your food. All right. As I said, I don't know how it happens. It must be supernatural. She's got the gift of eating. Multiplication, the inverse of multiplication. Any case, so Malaya, we're training her, we're teaching her, because she eats her food, and then she comes over to me and she's like, ta, 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 comes to my food. She wants some of my food. Ta is her way of asking. But it's changed from asking into demanding. The ta is not a question. It's a demand. I want your food. Okay. But you know what? This little girl has got such a liberty to come up to me, her dad. She's got such a freedom. She never thinks twice, you know, can I ask my dad? Can I have something of my dad? She doesn't wonder about that. She just comes and she asks. And that's the third key I want to leave with you tonight. Third and final. Is God is looking for children that would depend on Him, that would come to Him and just ask. And asking is really not in our nature. Asking is not such a not a secular worldview that we have today. Is, you know, the worldview that is so prevailing, the society is, you must fight for yourself, you must figure it out, you must take charge of your life, control of your life. You are the, even in Christianity, you are the one that determines your destiny. No, God is the one that determines your destiny. Okay? And the key there, Jesus says, ask. Final scripture, Luke 11, verse 13. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts. Evil as you are, compared to God and His goodness. Know how to give good gifts. Gifts that are to their advantage. To your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask Him? Now, I'm on this theme this year, actually, to come to scriptures and just this whole thing, because we as Christians, and especially if we've become old Christians, what we've done is we've compartmentalized scripture. We've said, now these couple of scriptures are for new believers. And these couple of scriptures are for when you get to there. But now this scripture, Luke 11, I've already received the Holy Spirit, so it's, you know, I've passed that stage. You know, and we do it with, we compartmentalize quite a few scriptures. I'm on that theme this year. You know, the word is living. And every part of scripture is for you. You cannot say, I've graduated from that part of scripture and now I'm done with it. Okay? Look actually what it says in the Amplified version of Luke 11, 13. It says that at the end, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask. Okay? So it's a continuous place in our lives where we ask God. We come to Him like little children. And we're excited. We come with the expectation. All right. We're gonna just watch two scenes. Would you stand with me, please? Band, if you guys can come up. We're celebrating Passover today and tomorrow over the weekend. Just something from that scene of Jesus in the desert. One of the Gospels say that the devil, Satan, took Him to the Temple Mount. That the movie doesn't depict that, but Satan takes Jesus to the Temple Mount, and all the people were gathered around the temple at that time. So what would have happened when Jesus jumped down and the angels would catch Him, what would happen is there would be a whole crowd to witness what Jesus would have done, and then Jesus would have instant fame. And with all three of the temptations of Satan, and this is the lie of Satan and his voice always to us, is the destination, the goal, is actually not wrong. If you think about all three of the temptations that Jesus had, the first one was instant gratification to eat. The second one was, like I said, instant fame. The third one, when Satan showed Him all the kingdoms, eventually Jesus did get all authority. In other words, He did get all the kingdoms. He did have all the fame. You know, fame is just another word for glory. God, Jesus gets all the glory. And all those things are things that was Jesus' destiny. The only problem is the way to get there. And with Satan, it's instant. Okay, and with Satan, obviously, there's strings attached as well. Whereas with Jesus, He's not so much interested in if it's instant or if it takes long, but what He is interested is in our hearts. And my question to you tonight is, like Peter, will you let Jesus into the boat with you? Will you be uncomfortable with Jesus being there taking over the scene? Will you, like Jesus said there, will you give him an hour? Can he change your life? So I want us just to close our eyes, and then we're going to